Elevated woman, as you like it, David Minister, 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, in the Elgin, Texas. Today is December the 24, or is the 28th day of Thebet, 2028. We will start our first service today. We're going to read from Mount Zion, the 11th Hour. We keep going over and over and over because we have new light to bring out of this old subject. That's what the Bible says. You bring new out of the old. That's what the old is for. Store up truth to be understood in its true light in these last days. Old Testament is stored up as a type. New Testament unfolding of the antitype. We have on page 15 of this Mount Zion, 11th Hour, V.T. Hollis. It says, Church's condition just before the purification. All right. It says that what greater deception can come upon the human mind than a confidence that they are right when they are all wrong. For the message of the true witness finds the people of the Yahweh in a sad deception, yet honest in that deception. For they know not that their condition is deplorable in the sight of the Yahweh. While those addressed are flattering of themselves that they are in an exalted spiritual condition, for the message of the true witness breaks their security by the startling denunciation of their true condition of the spiritual blindness, poverty, and wretchedness. For the testimony so cutting and severe cannot be a mistake, for it is the true witness who speaks, and his testimony must be correct. For the testimony, volume 3, page 252 and 3. Who can truthfully say our gold is tried in the fire? Our garments are unspotted by the world. I saw an instructor pointing unto the garments of the so-called righteousness, stripping them off, he laid bare the defilement beneath. Then he said unto me, Can you not see how they have pretentiously covered up the defilement and rottenness of the character? How is a faithful city becoming harder? For my father's house is made a house of merchandise, a place whence the divine presence and glory have departed. For this cause there is weakness and strength is lacking. Testimony, volume 8, page 250. For the ancient man, those unto whom Yahweh had given great light, and who had stood as the spiritual guardians of the interests of the people, had betrayed their trust. For these dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who feel the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together. Testimony, volume 5, page 211. It is difficult for those who feel secure in their attainment and who believe themselves to be rich in their spiritual knowledge for the receiving of the message that declares that they are deceived and in the need of every spiritual grace, for the unsanctified heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Testimony, volume 3, page 253. There are many who do not have the discretion of the Joshua. Now this Joshua, the son of Joseph, what Sister White's talking about there, is that in the last days, is this antithetical Elijah. Elijah is just two parts of Yahweh's name, Eliyahu. Joshua is a part of Yahshua's name. And so it actually, when it says Joshua, it should say Yahshua. Well, that's what Joshua is taken from. And who have no special duty for the searching out of the wrongs and for the dealing properly with the sins existing among them. Let not such hinder those who have the burden of this work upon them. Let them not stand in the way of those who have this duty to do. Some make it a point to question and doubt and find fault because others do not do the work that the Yahweh has not laid upon themselves. These stand directly in the way for the hindering of those upon whom the Yahweh has laid the burden of the reproving and correcting prevailing sins that his found may be turned away from his people. Should a case like the Achan be among us, there are many who would accuse those who might act the part of the Joshua, which would be antithetical Elijah David today, in the searching out of the wrong, of the having of a wicked folk finding spirit, for Yahweh is not to be trifled with, and his warnings disregarded with the impunity by a perverse people. For the Yahweh's displeasure is upon his people, and he will not manifest his power in the midst of them while sins exist among them and are fostered by those in the responsible position. Those who work in the fear of the Yahweh for the ridding of the church of the hindrances and for the correcting of the grievous wrongs, that the people of the Yahweh may see the necessity of the abhorrent sin and may prosper in the purity, and that the name of the Yahweh may be glorified wherever meet with the resisting influences from the unconsecrated. For the Zephaniah thus describes the true state of this class and the terrible judgment that will come upon them. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with the candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, for the Yahweh will not do good, neither will he do evil, for the great day of the Yahweh is near. Let's say it again. For the great day of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, is near. For it is near, and it hastens greatly, even the voice of the day of the Yahshua. For the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. When a crisis finally comes, as it surely will, and the Yahweh speaks in behalf of his people, those who have sinned, those who have been a cloud of the darkness, and who have stood directly in the way of the Yahweh's working for his people, they become alarmed at the length they have gone, and the murmuring and in the bringing discouragement upon their cause, and like the aching, becoming terrified, they may acknowledge that they have sinned, but their confessions are too late and are not of the right kind to benefit themselves, although they may relieve the cause of the hour. Those who have been nearly all their life controlled by a spirit as foreign to the spirit of the Yahweh as was Achan will be very passive when the time comes for the decided action on the part of all. They will not claim to be on either side. Testimony, Volume 3, page 270-272. We have been inclined to think that where there are no faithful ministers, there can be no true believers. But this is not the case, for Yahweh has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. For Yahweh has never made the flock wholly dependent upon the human instrumentality, but the days of the purification of the church were hastening on apace, for the Yahweh will have a people pure and true, and the mighty sifting soon to take place. We shall be better able for the measure of the strength of Israel. For the signs reveal that the time is near when the Yeshua will manifest that his plan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Those who have trusted it to the intellect, genius, or talent will not then stand at the head of rank and file. They did not keep pace with the light. Those who have proved themselves unfaithful will not then be entrusted with the flock. In the last solemn work, few great men will be engaged. They are self-sufficient, independent of the Yahweh, and he cannot use them. For the Yahweh has the faithful servants who, in the shaking testing time, will be disclosed to you. There are precious ones now hidden who have not bowed the knee to fail, for they have not had the light which has been shining in a concentrated blaze upon you. But it may be under a rough and uninviting exterior that the true brightness of a genuine character be revealed. Testimony, Volume 5, page 1881. It says, for the foregoing series of the statement shows that the church must be cleansed before the rest of the Yahweh's people are gathered out of all countries. Then in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of the Judah. Okay. He's going to bring again. Now remember, Cyrus of old, in the Old Testament, he was the one that delivered Judah from Babylon. And he brought them for the first time out of their captivity. Cyrus did. He financed everything, and even the rebuilding of the temple and Jerusalem. And he caused the Judahites to return back to their homeland. So it says, then in those days, and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of the Judah and Jerusalem, says the Yahweh, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of the Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Joel 3:1-2. So then, but to be delivered from the captivity and to hear the Yeshua plead, therefore his people, wonder not, spurn now his pleadings. For they say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another, a man's wife, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with the many lovers, yet return again unto me, saith the Yeshua, lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lain with, and the ways hast thou set for them as a region in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms, and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there has been no latter rain. And thou hast a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father? Thou art the God of my youth. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith Yeshua, son of Yahweh, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Yeshua, the son of Yahweh, and I will not keep anger forever, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Yahweh, the Yahweh, the Father, and hast scattered thy ways unto the strangers under the every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith Yeshua. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Yeshua, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and will bring you unto Zion, and I will give you your pastors, P-S-T-O-R-S, according unto my heart, which shall feed you with the knowledge and understanding, and it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Yeshua, for they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Yahweh. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, and neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Yeshua, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, unto the name of the Yeshua, unto Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days, the house of the Judah shall walk with the house of the Israel of the 10 tribes, and they shall come together out of the land of the north unto the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. Jeremiah 3:1-4, 12-18. Howbeit, saith Yahshua, behold, I will send you the Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith to Yahweh, or saith to Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith to Yahshua, and I will not keep anger forever, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against Yahshua, thy Redeemer, and Yahweh the Father, and hast scattered thy ways unto the strangers unto every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith Yahshua. Turn, O backsliding children, saith Yahshua, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you unto Zion, and I will give you your pastures according unto mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding, and it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith Yahshua, for they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Yahshua, or of the Yahweh. Let's read that again. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Yahweh, for they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Yahweh, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, unto the name of the Yahshua, unto Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days, the house of the Judah shall walk with the house of the Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north unto the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. Jerusalem 3:1-4, or Jeremiah 3:1-4 and 12-18. Howbeit, saith the Yahshua, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua. Well, actually, this is where I left off the last time. And it shall turn their heart, and he shall turn their heart out of, let's read that last again. Howbeit, saith the Yahweh, the Father, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers unto the children, and the heart of the children unto their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse, Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Now, notice it says singular. It says, he says, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, a singular one singular man, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahshua. And he, that one singular man, like John the Baptist, was the Elijah of his day, and Elijah, the Tishbab, the Elijah of his day, only one man, and he shall turn the heart is singular, of the fathers. And actually, it should say he will turn the hearts of the fathers unto the children, and the hearts of the children unto their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahshua, whom you seek, shall suddenly come unto his temple. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like the fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver. And he shall purify the sons of the Levi, and purge them as the gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahshua, or Yahweh the Father, that they may offer unto the Yahweh the Father an offering in the righteousness. Then shall the offering of the Judah, that is a lawgiver, tribe of Judah, the house, the kingdom of David, and Jerusalem is the capital city of Judah. That's where the president, and that's where the king lives, be president unto the Yahweh, as in the days of the old, and as in the former years, that I will come near unto you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the idolaters, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, for the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the... Let's do it again. And I will come near unto you unto judgment. And I will be as a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Yahshua of the host. For I am the Yahshua, and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of the Jacob, 12 tribes of Israel, 144,000, are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. This is Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, talking. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith Yahshua of the host. That you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob Yahweh? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In the tithes and offerings, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now, herewith saith Yahshua of the host, if I will not open you the windows of the heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith Yahshua of the host. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Yahshua of the host. For your words have been stout against me, saith the Yahshua. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? For you have said it is vain to serve the Yahshua, or to serve the Yahweh, the Father. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances, and that we have walked mournfully before the Yahshua of the host? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt the Yahweh are even delivered. Then they that feared the Yahweh spake often one to another, and the Yahweh hearkened and heard it. And a book of the remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Yahweh and that thought upon his name, and they shall be mine, saith the Yahshua of the host, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth the Yahweh and him that serveth him not. Malachi 3:1-18. Therefore thus saith the Yahweh, behold, I will lay in the Zion, that's Mount Zion at the 12th hour, for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay unto the lion, and righteousness unto the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of the lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For the morning by morning shall it pass over, by the day and by the night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering more narrow than that he can wrap himself in it. For the Yahweh shall rise up as in the Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of the Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore be ye not mockers, Bless your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, of the host, a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear, O my people, I hear my voice, hearken, and hear my speech. I hear 28:16-23. As Yahweh, the Father, has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take, let's do that again, for the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80. Testimonies unto Ministers, page 300. Jeremiah 3:17, and as the descendants of the Jacob again becoming a kingdom, appoint unto themselves one head, Hosea 1:11, David their king, Hosea 3:5, and seek the Yahshua, seek the Yahweh, the Father, for it is evident that the church in the time of the loud cry of the fifth angel's message, Revelation 18, in the 12th parabolic hour, in the judgment of the living time, in the harvest time, adverse history, the loud cry of the fifth angel of Revelation 18:1-4 message will be a theocracy, because Israel never became a theocracy just under the three angels, or just with the three angels flying in the midst of heaven. Impossible. You have to have the fourth and fifth angel with the three angels having their reign here on the earth in the 12th parabolic hour in these last days to accomplish the work that they were designed to accomplish to begin with. And that is to be the power and the spirit of the kingdom for the bringing in of the everlasting righteousness unto the house of Israel in these last days, and for the being Yahshua's workmen for the harvesting of the earth. That's what this fourth and fifth angel, Revelation 7 and Revelation 14, that's their job, is to swell all the five angels into a loud cry from of a Revelation 1 to 6. For the scepter, so this theocracy, for the scepter shall not depart from the Judah, nor lawgiver from between his feet, until the shadow come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Genesis 49:10. Behold, a king shall reign in the righteousness. Let's read that again. For behold, a king shall reign in the righteousness, and princesses shall rule in the judgment. And that's the princesses of the 144,000. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. And who is this man? And typical Elijah, Malachi 4:5. And a covert from the tempest, that's actually David, this antitypical David, that's who this man is. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of the water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land, Isaiah 32:1-2. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. This is Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, this prophecy is about here in Isaiah 9:68. And his name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor, then it says, of the mighty Yahweh, of the everlasting Father. Okay, let's do that again. For unto us a child, Yahshua, parentheses, is born. Unto us a son, Yahshua, in parentheses, is given. And the government of this theocracy of Israel shall be upon his shoulder. It should actually say his shoulders, and his name shall be called a Wonderful, comma, Counselor. And let's put the prepositions in there now and go back and read that again. And his name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor. He's going to be called the Mighty King, Yahshua. That's what he's going to be called. He's going to be called the Everlasting King of the Israel of the House of David. As the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of the David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with the judgment and with the justice from henceforth even forever. For the zeal of the Yahshua of the host will perform this. For the Yahshua sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. Isaiah 9:68. For behold, the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, will come with a strong hand, and his arm is a house of David, the 144,000, sitting upon the princes sitting upon the throne, exacting judgment, shall rule for him. For behold, his reward is with him, for he will then give them the kingdom, everlasting kingdom of the heaven. Daniel 2:44-45. And his work before him. He will then gather his people, Isaiah 40:10. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of the Jesse, prophesies the Isaiah, and the figurative depiction of this glorious triumph of the Yahweh, the Father's purpose, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Okay, and the spirit of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, shall rest upon him. As the spirit of the wisdom and understanding, as the spirit of the counsel and might, of the spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Yahweh, the Father, and shall make him of the quick understanding in the fear of the Yahweh, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with the righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with the equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And the righteousness of the Yahshua The Son of Yahweh shall be the girdle of his loins and faithfulness as the girdle of his reign. Isaiah 11:1-5. Alright, we have a picture here, a drawing. It's entitled The Kingdom Illustrated. Now this is talking about the kingdom of heaven, that Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, is sitting upon the throne of David here in Daniel 2:44-45. They say the kingdom illustrated, salvation is of the Jews. Jews and the Gentiles grafted in. Okay. So the Jews, their role, that rejected Yahshua, those that didn't reject him at all, they are, along with the Gentiles in his last days, are grafted into this here kingdom of the David in Jerusalem. In this illustration, there are three persons brought to view. Jesse, the father of the David. Okay. The rod, David, and the branch, Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. For the relationship shows that the antithetical David, as the rod, is not the Yahshua, as the branch. For the rod sprang from the stem of the Jesse, and the branch from the rod, a fact which is borne out in the cry of the multitude when the Messiah entered Jerusalem. For they shouted, Hosanna unto the Son of David. Matthew 21:15. Plainly therefore the rod coming from the stem of Jesse is symbolical of the David, and the branch coming from the rod is symbolical of the Son of David, the Messiah. Upon this ensign, branch and rod, the Spirit of the Yahweh shall rest as the Spirit of the wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of the counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Yahweh, and shall make him with a quick understanding in the fear of the Yahweh, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with the righteousness of the Yahshua shall he judge the poor, and reprove with the equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Isaiah 11:2-5. So though the ensign emblematizes the connection of the three persons, Jesse the root, David the rod, and the Messiah as the branch, yet the power and wisdom of the Yahshua is its underlying and controlling force. Wherefore says the Yahshua, I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, Revelation 22:16, bearing out that he is all and in all. Since therefore from the stem of the Jesse came the rod, David, and from the rod sprang the branch, the Yahshua, David as the visible king, and the Yahshua as the invisible king of kings, shall in that day, in our time, constitute the ensign, and unto it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest, or his resting place, location where the rod or the incense stands, the kingdom shall be glorious. Yea, I will make the place at my feet glorious, Isaiah 60, verse 13, says the Yahshua. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, for he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Yahshua, will be their king, the invisible king, the visible king at that time, during the 12th parabolic journey's last day, and my servant David as a prince among them. For I, the Yahshua, have spoken it, and I will make with them a covenant of the peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Ezekiel 34:23-25. Thus his church, our kingdom, is again reflected without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Ephesians 5:27. For a theocracy of the peace, safety, and invincibility, under the rule of the one shepherd and a king, David, his servant, but the fact that many kings reigned over Israel may, in the minds of some, give rise unto the question, why David as a type? Inevitably, because he is the only one who perfectly fits the antitype as the leadership in the time of the loud cry of the fifth angel's message of Revelation 18:1-4, and the 12th parabolic hour, and the time of the harvest, and the time of the judgment of the living is underway. This being so, then it necessarily follows that King Saul, as the first king of the Israel, who reigned over the Israel and who was largely responsible for the early experience of the David's life, is a type of the church leadership in the period preceding the loud cry of the fifth angel's message in the 12th hour. For the leadership which was raised up in 1844, and for the sole purpose of the gathering of the 144,000 as the first fruits of the kingdom, in each case, type perfectly matches antitype. On account of his outwardly kingly appearance, Saul was chosen by the people, as the reader will remember, to be their king in spite of Yahweh's disapproval, 1 Samuel 8:7. Then finally, when Yahweh rejected him and anointed David to be a king in his stead, he was determined to return the throne by attempting to kill the David, but ended up ever before David ascended it by the deliberately killing himself, 1 Samuel 31:4. Time has already demonstrated that the SDA organization is fulfilling the type, preferring to incorporate and to elect officers by the people's vote, they have thereby manifested that they have cared not so much for the pleasing of the Yahweh by being a peculiar people as he would have them to be, as they have to please themselves by the being as much as possible like the other denominations, just as in the Saul time that people wanted to be like the nations round about them, 1 Samuel 8:5-7. And although chosen by the people, yet the General Conference officers were nevertheless accepted by the Yahweh to be their rulers over his people now, as Saul was anxious. Just as he betrayed his trust, however, by the disobeying of the word of the Yahweh, as spoken unto him by the prophet Samuel, so the present church organization, the ancient man before the house, have says the prophet to the church today, betrayed their trust. Testimony, Volume 5, page 11. For a more ample treatment of the subject of the organization, see our organization, no manual. Speaking unto the SDA leadership, the servant of the Yahweh says, you have no right to manage unless you manage in the Yahweh's order. Are you under or with the control of the Yahweh? Do you see your responsibility unto him that these men should stand in a sacred place to be as a voice of the Yahweh unto the people? As we once believed the General Conference to be, that is past. What we want now is the reorganization. General Conference Bulletin, 34th Session, Volume 4, Extra, Number 1, April 3, 1901, page 25, Columns 1 and 2. For the revelatory statement conclusively proves that after the historical Minneapolis meeting, in 1888, when the leaders rejected both the message and the counsel which was given them, Testimonies of Ministers, page 468, the Yahweh did not any longer regard the General Conference as his servant, just as he did not any longer regard Saul as the king over Israel, after he turned from the Yahweh's command unto him, and now having since granted the popular demand and to organize a General Conference in the fulfillment of the type, Yahweh warns that his forbearance has come to an end today just as it did. Then solemnly declares the spirit of the prophecy, for Yahweh calls for a spiritual revival and a spiritual reformation. Unless this takes place, those who are lukewarm will continue to grow more abhorrent unto the Yahweh until he will refuse to acknowledge them as his children. For revival and a reformation must take place under or with the administration of the Holy Spirit, for the revival and reformation are with the two different things. For the revival signifies a renewal of the spiritual life, a quickening of the powers of the mind and heart, a resurrection from the spiritual practices. A reformation from the spiritual death. For the reformation signifies that the reorganization is a change in the ideas and theories, habits, and practices. For the Reformation will not bring forth the good fruit of the righteousness unless it is connected with the revival of the Spirit. For the revival and Reformation are to do their appointed work, and in the doing this work they must blend the Messiah of righteousness. Christ our righteousness, page 154, reprinted from the Review and Herald, February 25th, 1902. This brings in about 7th hour contact us with 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archives. Hear this message and more. Let us close out of the song.